Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Welcome to the show. I'm thrilled to have with me today an old friend, Grant LaBoff. Good day, sir.
Hi, nice to be here, Rob. Thanks.
Lovely to have you with us, Grant. There'll be people listening that may not have come across you. So for their benefit, will you just tell us a bit about your background and your areas of expertise?
Yeah, absolutely. I run Sticky Marketing. I spend an awful lot of my time doing strategic consultancy with all sorts of businesses. I also speak for a living and I write. So my fifth book came out in January of this year called Myths of Marketing.
When you talk about marketing, Grant, let's start with the definition. What is marketing in your dictionary of life and business?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, actually. So for me, marketing is the process of determining, communicating, and delivering value in order to obtain and retain customers. When we talk about determining, actually deciding the scope of products or services that you're offering is part of your marketing. People often don't think of it as that, but it is. And then obviously the communicating of those products and services, everybody knows that as marketing, but also the delivery mechanism. So do we do everything face-to-face? Can people access some of our services online? How does it work? That delivery mechanism is also a marketing decision. And that often leads people to say, well, hold on a minute. If that's marketing, the marketing sounds like business strategy in many ways. And it is. The majority of marketing actually is business strategy.
So when you add business development and selling to that mix, does marketing stop and then another one begins, or do they overlap each other?
Yeah, it's a great question, Rob. So if you think about marketing is this whole scope of what your products and services are, how you deliver them, communicating that value, and actually pricing sits in there as well, because value then is obviously relative to the price that you charge. If you then go down to communications, which is one of the parts of marketing, you basically have brand communication and human communication.
Okay.
Brand communication is marketing. So when you think about a website or sending a direct mail or putting an advert in a newspaper, that would all be marketing because it's brand communication. If a human being picks up the phone or goes to see someone face to face, that would be selling, because sales is person to person communication. But actually, just to clarify, sales is actually a marketing channel. So if you think about in terms of your communication, you've got all of these channels available. So you've got websites and social media and TV advertising and radio and cinema, etc. You've got all of these channels. One of the channels that you have is human beings. A partner or a business development person can go and see a prospect.
Right.
And that would be selling, because it's person to person, but it's still a marketing channel. And actually the academic name for selling is personal selling, because it's done by a human.
So you're a strategic marketing consultant. When you put the word strategic in front of marketing, what does that bring to the definition that wasn't there before?
Yes, that's also an interesting question, because people think of marketing as tactical. Where should we advertise? Should we use Facebook or LinkedIn? Should we go to that exhibition? Now, of course, they are marketing questions, but they're tactical questions. Whereas strategic marketing is thinking about things like, what does our brand stand for? What's our position in the market against our competitors? How are we segmenting the market in terms of customers? Who are we targeting? Which channels to market should we be using? What should our sales messaging be? What should our proposition to the customer be? And all of those are very, very strategic decisions. Don't get those right, the tactics don't work very well.
Yeah, that makes good sense. So you work with all kinds of sectors, Grant. Are there any differences between selling a product that is tangible, you can see it there in the shop window, if you like, you can touch it and feel it, and things like professional services, which is essentially selling knowledge and advice, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. There are differences, because it's the perception of value. So when you sell a product, you know, I'm selling a pen or a computer or whatever it is.
Or even a set of year-end accounts. That's quite tangible in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, you're 100%. That product is very defined. And in some ways, it's less relevant to have human-to-human contact. So a lot of that can be done via marketing. You think about all the different things we buy over Amazon. It's quite easy because I know what I'm going to get. People these days are quite brave. I've got friends that have even bought cars online because essentially I know what the cars are. I know the brand. I'm happy to do that. Once you start going into the world of professional services, this is very true of accountants, but it would be of solicitors and business consultants as well. Actually, what I'm buying is you. I'm buying the value that you can bring. So yes, there might be a list of services that you offer as a service provider, but I want to know, is there a fit between us? What extra value am I going to get from you? What's your background and knowledge and expertise? Once you get into that, there's more of a necessity to have that personal interaction, be it over a Zoom call, be it face-to-face, maybe some telephone as well. But I'm buying the person as well as the service offering. And that changes the dynamic of the sale, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, when we look across how the world is changing, we're certainly becoming more diverse, more global. And I'm talking about businesses generally. Does that mean that differentiation and standing out is easier, Grant, or is it actually harder for companies and firms to stand out these days?
In terms of the noise in the marketplace, yeah, it's never been noisier, right?
The war there's for attention, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's more messages because in many ways, what technology has done is it's democratized a lot of services in that you can be a very, very competent accountant, decide to break away on your own. And if you've got a desk at home and a laptop, essentially you're in business because you're selling your own expertise, which you have. So I think there is more choice than ever before. And that leads to more noise. Differentiating yourself, just standing out at all is quite hard. The struggle is that people don't do this right. We are now more and more getting into a world of niche. And differentiation becomes easier in as much as if I understand my target audience. Because people try and differentiate by what they do. Right. And if you try and differentiate by what you do, most of the time you're on a hiding to nothing. Because assuming that there are equally competent accountants out there, however brilliant you are, differentiating by what you do becomes nigh on impossible. But where you do differentiate is not by what you do, but by who you do it for. And once you understand who you do it for, the how you do it becomes quite different. So let me give you an example, right? You could have three accountants and one accountancy firm says, well, really, I work with retail. That's my sweet spot. That's my audience.
That's and a vertical niche, isn't it?
Yeah, vertical niche. And then everything they're geared to in terms of understanding things like pound per square foot and understanding the pricing strategies that companies are currently using in the current climate and so many other bits of expertise that that accountancy firm or an individual accountant can bring to their customers, which will be completely different from a bog standard accountant who may have one or two retail clients, but he's no expert in that area. Sure. Then you could have another accountant that says, I work with entrepreneurs and they really understand growth and scalability and angel funding and how to access funding. So suddenly, whereas the core competencies of both accountants who understand balance sheets and cash flows and audits and everything else is very similar, when you get accountant A specializing in retail and accountant B specializing in entrepreneurial and startup businesses, they become very different animals, not because of what they do, but because of who they do it for and then how they do it and the expertise they bring to the table. So suddenly you're niching and you're making yourself very attractive to your target markets rather than the functional services that you provide, which could be very similar for both audiences.
Got that. And if you extended that thinking, you would have an entrepreneurial startup accountant specializing in the retail space, and that would very much hit the niche, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly right. And you're correct. I always talk in terms of small viable markets.
The micro niche, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So we always talk about smallest viable market. As any business, you want to go to the smallest marketplace you can that will commercially sustain your business for your next years of growth. Right. Not forever. If you're looking at a two-year outlook, you go, is this marketplace big enough to sustain my growth ambitions for the next couple of years? If it is, that's great. If it's too big, go smaller. Because the more niche you go, the more relevant you are, the more interesting you are, the more applicable you are and attractive you are to that audience. And all marketing costs time and money. And the bigger the audience you're going to, because you lose a bit of relevance, and you just use more marketing resource. And why would you spend time and money you don't need to spend? And as your brand grows, as your business grows, you need to widen the scope of your market. But actually what happens, which is very interesting, is as your niche dissipates a little bit, and so you lose a little bit of resonance and relevance, you gain in brand traction. So if you think about PwC, you know, the mother of all accountants, they're massive. Okay, they work in every niche probably possible, right? There's probably not an industry sector they don't work in. How do they make themselves relevant? But they've got brand. They've got trust and credibility in brand, which your average small accountant doesn't have. So where you lose relevance, you gain in brand traction and brand trust.
Yeah, that makes good sense. And I recently came across an accountant that had niched horizontally and vertically. So he only did audit. So he wouldn't do any VAT or other stuff, wouldn't do any advisory work. And he would only do it for oil rigs.
Wow.
So obviously he was raking it in, if you like, because there's plenty of oil rigs out there. So there's a viable market, but it was very specific what he did for that market. And he didn't have many competitors.
No. And you become the go-to expert, don't you? Because when you're doing that audit work for those oil rigs day in and day out, all day long, you know, 365 days a year, there's probably nothing you haven't seen, nothing you haven't come across, nothing you don't understand, the intricacies. So you just become the go-to expert. And if that marketplace will sustain your business, obviously in his case it does, then that's fantastic, because you become the go-to person for that. And that's what you want to do. So going to smallest viable markets is always the best strategy. It doesn't mean, by the way, that it's forever. In other words, as you grow a business, you may have to widen that marketplace out. But the smaller the market, the easier it is to win customers.
So how important is marketing for accounting firms? Because if you look at their business model, it's elegant in a way. There's recurring funds. People need them. Everyone needs a tax return. People pay regularly. Do they really have to do much marketing?
It's a brilliant question. And don't put time and money and resource into things you don't need to run your business, right? So if you think you can run it without any communications at all, that's fine. What I would say to all accountancy firms today is the market is drastically changing. In professional services, a large majority of work has always come from word of mouth and recommendations and referrals. And I don't think that will necessarily change. What changes is the nature of how they come about. So buying journeys in all sectors of the market are migrating online. And once buyer journeys migrate online, what happens is referrals and recommendations happen in social networks, in forums. Someone posts something on LinkedIn and says, does anyone know a good accountant? And people wade in. And what that means is if you don't start having an online presence, if you don't start taking the management of your media channel seriously, you could really end up missing out over the next few years. So whereas referral recommendations has been offline and face to face, that is not the case anymore. And, you know, as the demography changes, as your core clients and the prospects that you have are no longer people born in the 1960s or 70s, but people born in the 1990s and 2000s, and the nature of the way they source products and services changes, I would say to any accountancy firm, those that aren't investing in brand and aren't investing in their media channels and media presence, be that LinkedIn or YouTube or Facebook or their website or an amalgamation of all of them, I would be worried for the health of their businesses over the next 10 or 20 years.
Yeah, you bring up an excellent point, because there is an evolution of how you reach your target market and cultivate that network of introducers. And COVID, the pandemic's accelerated that, because we're not having those face-to-face conversations. We're not shaking hands and swapping cards and going networking, which was the way you would traditionally cultivate a network of introducers. So if you're not online, you will cease to become relevant and you lose that connection, won't you?
Yeah, 100%. And I don't think COVID's changed the landscape, but it's accelerated it. Yes. And what's really interesting is, let me just give you an application for that, right? So one of the things that you need to do in professional services, you're an accountant, is expand your credibility and your network and get known and get familiar and build trust. And people often did that at networking groups, their local chamber of commerce. What's interesting about that is, A, COVID's put pay to all of that momentarily, but also, will it come back? Is the person born in the year 2000 who's now going to enter the workplace in the next 1 or 2 years really going to want to traipse you know, on a cold Wednesday morning in February at 7 o'clock in the morning to eat cold eggs and bacon in some soulless hotel room to hear a speaker they're not interested in. I'm not sure that's going to happen. And you do build relationships, but you build it in different ways. I'll give you an example. If an accountant says, you know what, I know my marketplace and I'm going to post every week a 90-second video with tips and ideas and suggestions for what's happening in the marketplace right now, that accountant gets to build familiarity and credibility and trust and deliver real insights on scale, because video allows you to do that. And I think the accountants of the future are going to have to develop those initial relationships. I'm not suggesting it changes phone calls and Zoom calls and others, but it augments what they're doing already in exactly the same way as at some point the telephone meant people didn't traipse the streets anymore and knock on doors. They did it from their desk using the telephone. So video is a very powerful tool for professional service providers to demonstrate credibility, to build trust, to build familiarity, to build awareness, to add value to their audiences. And I don't think there's enough of that going on in the professional service market. Those that grab it and utilize it will do very, very well. And those that don't are in danger of missing out.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And when you ask a lot of professional firms where they get their business from, word of mouth comes up in the conversation. But you talked about the change in the buyer journey. Is word of mouth changing? Is it more reliant on brand these days than individuals? How's that working out?
Yeah, so I think word of mouth is always going to be important, especially for professional services. We're social animals as human beings, and it doesn't matter whether it's face-to-face in a pub or over a Zoom call or on a WhatsApp message. We'll always tap into networks and tap into people we trust and ask those things. And this is very serious for professional service firms, because I think they've often been very sort of sales-led. All the work's coming from the partners, maybe a couple of business development people through person-to-person interaction. Now, when buyer journeys start with an online search where someone's putting in accountancy firms Nottingham and seeing what comes up, actually, there are two things that happen. Either you click on the first thing that comes up on Google, right? That's one thing that happens. But often that's a big brand that you're not interested in because they're the only ones that can afford the keyword of accountants Nottingham. But then the next thing you do is you scroll down and you'll click on the ones you recognize. And actually, that's where suddenly brand becomes important. Yeah. Because actually, you might be number 7 on Google, but if you're a brand that people have heard of, you'll get those clicks anyway. And actually, sometimes it's cheaper to invest in brand than start to rely on Google, who then change the algorithm and you're back to square one. Yeah. So brand in an online world becomes ever more important.
And when you look at accountants and their ilk as a breed, super smart, technically brilliant, but not comfortable with selling and marketing themselves, let alone products and services. So they would probably come into this as a career, not expecting to have to promote themselves and put themselves out there. They would be far more comfortable the firm engaging a large marketing function to do all of this for them. Are you of the opinion, Grant, that they should be doing some stuff themselves because it's about people and relationships, or the firm should invest heavily in marketing or even outsource marketing?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't think one size fits all. Obviously, okay. It depends on the firm. I mean, if you took PwC, you need marketing as a brand function. Yeah. Whereas if you're a small high street firm of 2 or 3 or 4 partners, or even a one-person accountancy business, it's much more about you. And therefore, to just pump out brand and nothing else seems a bit soulless. Depends very much on your context, who your client base are. And I do understand that, you know, accountants feel, if I'm allowed to say this, selling's almost a dirty thing to do. It's not what they do. It's not what they're about. You know, how do you say to a client, yeah, I'm amazing, I'm really good, you should buy me, you know, and it doesn't feel very comfortable. Yeah. And I always say to accountants and anybody that's selling themselves, really, one is don't make it about you, make it about them. It's not about you. It's about them, their challenges, their issues, what they're trying to achieve, their goals. And actually, it's much more comfortable for you to talk about them and to think about their challenges and their issues. And then you don't have to make it about you. You don't have to talk about how amazing you are. You're talking about them, their reality. And then the other bit of that, and it doesn't matter whether you're producing a bit of content or whether you're in a face-to-face meeting, your whole focus should be, how do I add value to this person? If they're going to engage in my 90-second video, what am I going to give them that when they click off, they got some value from? Even if they're not going to buy from me, doesn't matter. If you're in a face-to-face meeting and you're trying to understand their challenges, their context, their goals, their objectives, where they're trying to get to, and then as they're telling you, saying, you know what, if I were you, I'd think about this. You don't need to tell them how good you are. You're demonstrating it. You're giving them some expertise. You're giving them some value. And they're sitting there going, we've only had an hour meeting. You've already posed some good questions and given me some good insights. And they buy in that way. And I think it's the same with your content. So who, anybody in the world wants to make a video saying, yeah, my name's Grant and I'm really brilliant at marketing and please buy my services. And these are the amazing benefits I can give you. No one wants to make a video like that. But if you put a 90-second video and go, look, LinkedIn might be an important platform for you. So let me give you a couple of tips how you can make it more effective for you. And you deliver that. Then people click off and go, yeah, this guy's interesting. This guy's good. I like this. Maybe I'll give him a call. So there are ways of selling that can be comfortable for an accountant. So I think accountants are used to understanding their clients' businesses and used to trying to give value to clients. And if you think of your marketing in those terms, actually, I think it becomes much more comfortable for someone in professional service. So yeah, I can do this. And I think they can, by the way.
Yeah, and that does make sense. But accountants will come back and say, do you know what? I'm too busy earning fees, Grant. I don't actually have time to do any marketing. But it actually doesn't take much, does it, to dip your toes into the world of marketing for a professional?
Yeah, agreed. It's a way of thinking. People say to me, where do I get my ideas for my vlogs, for example? Yeah. And I say, actually, my best ideas normally come from my customers. Customer will ask me a question. I'll go, well, that's a really interesting question. So what I'm saying is in the course of their work, in the course of servicing customers, having conversations, being asked questions, seeing what's happening in the marketplace, you know, the trends, what's going on, how different circumstances, be it COVID or be it something else, is affecting people's businesses, you know, that will bring them ideas and go, you know, I could talk about that for a minute. I could give that bit of insight. I could drop that. If you're thinking in that way all the time, you're in a meeting with a customer, they ask a question, you think, ah, that's a great question. I'm going to make a video on that. You give them the answer. You go back to your office. Out comes your iPad or iPhone or whatever camera you're using. You record your 90 seconds, post it on LinkedIn, and it's job done for the week. Doesn't have to take an inordinate amount of effort to start to build up a head of steam if you're thinking in the right way.
Yeah, Grant, this is terrific. I always love our chats and you take me much deeper into the science and the art of marketing. If people want to get in touch with you and find out more about what you're doing, presumably your stuff's as relevant to professional firms as it is for any other sector you work in.
Yeah, absolutely. I try and make what I do relevant for everyone. The best place for people to go is stickymarketing.com. I practice what I preach. So there's an awful lot of content, video mainly, on there, which is very accessible. 1 or 2 minute bite-sized chunks are all freely available. So go and have a look at that.
Grant, this has been terrific. Just leave us with you with some words of advice or encouragement for the accountants listening that do want to get more into marketing. They do realize that the career progression depends not just on being technically brilliant, but on winning revenues and new clients for the firm, but they just don't know quite how to go about it.
Yeah. So I would always say, right, don't be overawed by it, because from a standing start, you look at social media, you look at websites, and you look at everything it needs doing, and you go, oh, I haven't got time for this. It's just too much. Just focus on one thing. Who's my audience? What's a good channel for me to use? It could be LinkedIn, it could be something else, and just start in very small bite-sized chunks. You know what? I'm going to do a 90-second post a week. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to do anything else. But you start to build up a head of steam, and suddenly, from nowhere, you know, a 90-second post a week, if you do it properly, suddenly after a year, you've done 50 posts. Yeah. And suddenly you go, you know what? My first post got seen by 7 people, but my last post got seen by 700 because I've built up this head of steam. And it's amazing. Just continuity, keep on keeping on, really does deliver results. And always focus on the customer. Don't worry about you. What's the value for my audience? If you keep giving the audience value, they'll keep coming back for more.
That's great. And it doesn't just have to be your customers or prospects that see that content you're putting out. If it's introducers and other professionals that can refer work to you, that's going to be a benefit, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You build that audience so you know who your universe is. But as you put things out, you build your credibility, you build trust, you build the value. Yeah, an introducer is going to be happier to refer you. And when they can say, oh, go and check out their LinkedIn, they've got some great video on there. Yeah. It gives me more confidence to mention you because I know that the customer's got somewhere to go. It's not just on my say-so. Yeah, all of this stuff builds evidence and works really well.
Well, Grant Leboff, that's fantastic. Thanks so much for your time and your passion and your insights today. That's been great.
Thanks, Rob. Thank you.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.